Y'all can have a seat. I want to pray for us before we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. God, I just pray that you would guide us and lead us today, that you would speak to us, and that our hearts would be receptive to your word. God, we invite your Holy Spirit to move. He's welcome here. We pray that the name of Jesus will be proclaimed and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Well, good morning, MC3. How are we doing today? Good? Yeah, good. Awesome. Well, we've been in this series called The Abundant Life. And we've been going through the first 7 weeks of the festivals. And it was awesome, right? Just learning about the history of our faith and why God ordained these festivals and all this good stuff. Today, we get to talk about why we get to live the abundant life. And if we're all honest, life is hard, right? Life is difficult. Life throws curveballs at you. Things aren't fair. Things don't always go the way we think they should or how we believe they should go, right? Just life is hard. And these seven festivals were a reminder, right, of who God was. And God is good. And God is faithful. And God is almighty and all-powerful. And God is in control. And today, we're going to look at Scripture in Luke chapter 2 of God's promise being fulfilled, of God's beautiful divine story for our hope in our future and our salvation. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, if you want to join me in that. It is 2, 1 through 7. This is what we're going to read. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quintilianus, I don't know how you say it like that, but you, thank you. I saw somebody was like, I don't even know either. All right, cool, we're good. So I'm just going to go with it. It's not sacred or scarce, okay? So that was good. With governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Today As I was studying and working through this, I was like, man, okay, we're doing Christmas in July. And I was like, all right, cool. But then I was reminded like how the Israelites would always tell the story of the deliverance from Egypt, right? How they were delivered from Egypt and how God parted the waters and they were set free. And they told that story from generation to generation to generation, and they could recite it like this. And this is God parting the waters again so that all people, not just our Jewish brothers and sisters, but all people, the Gentiles as well, could tell this story about God parting the waters so that we could be saved and restored. And as we read through this, one of the things that I just kept seeing as I was studying is that God came through humility, right? The abundant life came through humility. If we see how Jesus was born and how he came to this world, he came as God was the creator, right? He breathed life into humans. He breathed life and water came and trees sprouted up, right? He breathed it and things come into existence. And yet, the God who can breathe things to existence came into creation, the thing that he created in all humility. not as a conquering hero or a conquering king. He came as a baby, an infant. If you've ever held a baby, they are helpless. They rely on their mom and dad to nurture them. I remember when I first was getting ready to have, not me, but you know, when we were first getting ready to have Cruz, I was so nervous to hold him because everybody was like, don't touch the top of his head, don't make sure you grab his neck, or just, and I was just thinking it's going to fall off. I was like, whoa, okay. I was like, so I was always like, okay, how do I hold this thing? Like, make sure the head's there. Morgan's like, you're so stiff. It's like, yeah, I don't want that. I don't want this baby to you know, get hurt on my watch. But then we get comfortable. It's like, oh, yeah, you know. Somebody I know, I won't say who it is. It's one of my brother-in-laws who would just hold his baby with his head right there and hold like this, like a football. You know, like he was confident. I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. I would never do that. I was too scared. But we get comfortable because we know how to care for the baby. And we're learning and we're growing, right? We don't always make the right decisions, but we get comfortable. And if I'm honest, we got comfortable with this story. We've gotten comfortable that we only say it once a year. Yep, Christmas is almost here, and we talk about all what we're going to do and cook instead of really remembering what God did. He came in humility so that we could have hope, so that we could have joy, so that we could have peace, so that you were forgiven of your sins, so that you could stand tall, not because of what you've done, but because of who God called you to be, a son and a daughter of God Almighty, the Creator. And so we see that good news doesn't come to royals, right? When I was studying, it was like, oh yeah, when the new king, right, the king had a baby, and he's going to be the successor, and it's a new boy. I mean, everybody knows. Trumpets are blasted, and all these good things, and like, Jesus did not. How was Jesus born? What happened when Jesus was born? Let us take a look at 8 through 14. It said, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom he is pleased with. Whew. The abundant life comes to the humble. Shepherds were looked down upon. They were the ones that nobody wanted, they couldn't trust. One of the commentators even said that the shepherds were not a valid witness because they were always gone for so long trying to feed their sheep, and so they, you know, they weren't a valid witness. And what does God do? Who are the first witnesses? Shepherds. Whew. A humble work, a humble duty. They are the first witnesses. And we see it all through the New Testament, how God calls those who are humble in heart to be his witnesses. The woman at the well, humble in heart. Yes, she was in sin. But she was humble in heart to repent of her sins and to receive the gift of life in Christ Jesus. And she was a first witness. I don't need to say why she wasn't valid of a witness, because of her work, because she was a woman. And yet God called her to be a witness to her towns. And God is proclaiming his glory, his salvation to these shepherds. People who are invalid. And yet in humble heart, they receive this great news. And God gives them a sign. God gives them something to look for. Says, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, laying in a manger. That was it. That was their sign. Besides the angel speaking to them, right? Besides this multitude of army of angels singing glory, glory in the highest. Man, what a God we serve. What an abundant life we can have if we are humble in heart. We have become proud. We have walked in the way of the wicked by saying, hey, look at me. I have done this, this, and this, instead of saying, hey, look what God has done in my life. Look, I am successful. Look what God has done in me. And what am I doing with that success? We have gone so far to boast about what we should have and shouldn't have and how our lives should be, instead of looking at people who are humble in heart, who are struggling, and saying, God loves you. He didn't come to the rich. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not bad to have money. Don't get me wrong, it's not bad to be rich. But if you're relying on that, that is the sin. And in this culture, in this Western Christianity, we have fought for the American dream rather than the gospel. And that might hurt, and that might sting, and you might not agree with me, and that is okay. Guess what? We are called brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can disagree, and that is okay. We cannot see eye to eye, and that is okay. But if we are humble in heart, if we take the posture of our God, we can be united in what matters most. And I pray that we do that. And I'll apologize for not always doing that. I apologize for all churches that don't always do that. We fall short of the glory of God. Every single church. Every single believer. But if we have a humble posture, a humble heart, God, the creator of the universe, has given us a gift. And that gift is hope. If we continue, we see in 15 through 20, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. There's a lot in here. They told Mary and Joseph what they had seen. They told them who this baby is and what this baby meant. It's a gift from God to save us of our sins, to redeem us, to reconcile us back to God. They made it known. And what does Mary do? She ponders it in her heart. Maybe we should do that with Scripture. Maybe we should start pondering these things that God is revealing to us rather than going and speaking it out right away. Let us ponder and think about it and wrestle with it and question it and ask God to continue to reveal himself to us so that when the time has come to speak the truth, we speak it with grace and we speak it with power and authority given to us by the Holy Spirit. Let us ponder these things. Let us remember that God came through humility. The abundant life is found only in Jesus. All those seven festivals were pointing to the day that Jesus would come. And all those seven festivals are pointing to the day when everything will be reconciled and the heavens and the earth will be made new and we would dwell in the midst of God, the Creator. And we would see one another as brothers and sisters. And we would have this great joy singing glory, glory to God Almighty. We have this opportunity every single day to live the abundant life if we seek Jesus first, if we are humble in heart to repent of our sins daily, to carry our cross when we don't want to. There have been things that go on in our lives that, man, I'd rather not. I was sharing a story with one of my mentors that I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to turn the other cheek. I really don't. I heard some news I didn't want to hear. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I should. I think I did what I had to do and that's it. No, God has called us to keep going an extra mile. And that's hard. It's hard even with Morgan. There are times where I'm like, I know I'm right and I'm stand by it. And yet, God has called me to humble myself and love her above myself. Man, can we do that? Can we humble ourselves? Because the gospel isn't just for me and you, it's for all people who are willing to hear it and receive it. Can we go to downtown Atlanta, into the inner cities, where there are people who don't have a home and don't know where food is going to come next, or who are eating out of a trash can, or don't have a jacket when it's raining or have warmth when it's cold? Can we go and share this gospel to them and they find hope and joy and peace? Yeah. That should be. We should. It should. We should go to other countries around the world and share the gospel message, and it should connect with them. But we must first know who God is and remember his story, that he would come as a baby and live among us, to know our hurts, to know our pains, even though he already knew it, but just in human flesh, and to walk a life that is obedient to God the Father, so that we could have hope. What a gift. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. But there is a God who came into this earth to reconcile things. And it might not be right now like the way you want it to be. It might not be like that 10 years from now. But I know that there's a God that is walking alongside you, that is walking within you and walking in front of you, so that you know that you have a hope and a future when Jesus comes back. You might not like the life you have. You might not like the way things are going. But there is a God that has hope for you. Because where we are right now is not where we're going to stay. God has given us a gift to be taken and received and shared. Through the 3 years here, I've seen people lose people. And I was like, I don't know what I should say. I don't know what I should do. And I'm so grateful that I had example after example just to be there. Just be there. Just love on them. Mourn when they mourn. Rejoice when they rejoice. I don't need to preach the gospel. I live it out. When God tells me to preach, I'll preach it. When God tells me to live it out, I live it out daily. We live it out daily. Romans 15, 13 says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. May you have joy today, even through your circumstances, even through your pain. May you have joy today that there is a God who is with you, for you, and in you. There's a God who loves you and cares for you. There's a God who will make things right. There's a God who is in control. There's a God who is almighty. There's a God who is love. May you have peace tonight. Through the pain, through the trauma, through the doubts and the weaknesses, may you have peace tonight. That there's a God who sits in control. There's a God who sees it. And there's a God who did something about it so that you can live this life with strength and with courage by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a God who did something. And there's a sign for us all, if we are to believe, that he came into this world as a baby, lived a life, and died. He died for you and for me to restore us, to renew us, to transform us, to heal us, to reconcile us back to God the Father. And the best news? That he didn't stay in the grave. He rose on the third day to live. And this is why we believe, because the tomb is empty. There has yet to be evidence of a body of Jesus Christ. Nobody has found it. That's what we rest our faith in. If they find a body, then we're all fools. But they have yet to find a body. And if somebody finds a body, then we're all fools. But glory be to God that there's no body. Amen. Glory be to God that there's a God who gave us grace and mercy. And he will come back. So as we take communion today, may you be reminded of the hope of God. May this bread and this juice remind you that there is hope. That there is joy, that there is peace. Yes, there is hurt. I'm not trying to minimize that, I promise you. I'm not trying to minimize your pain. Because trust me, there are days where it's hard. What I want you to know is that God feels that pain. And God knows that. And God's there. He's not minimizing your pain either. He just wants you to trust him and believe in him and know him and be with him. And so when we take this, may we be with him, be reminded. You can cry, you can mourn, whatever you need to do, and say, God, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know, God, why somebody had to pass away or why somebody has to have cancer. I don't know why there's evil in this world, but God, I know that you are good and you are in control. And I know that you are faithful. And so God, if anybody's doubting in their faith today, I pray that you would give them faith today. That you would give them joy today. A joy and a peace that surpasses all understanding. And may they just come to you, God, not in fear, but in humility, trusting your word is true, that God, you sent Jesus for us, and the tomb is empty, and that he will return, and everything will be made right. May we trust you, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this story. May we proclaim it. May we live it. And may we glorify your son, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can come take communion. If you need prayer, we'll be on the right and the left. If you need help, just raise your hand and we'll bring it to you.